Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse to the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more.
I got the horses in the back, horse stock is attached. Head is matted black, got the bushes black to match. Riding on a horse, ha, you can whip your Porsche. I've been in the valley, you ain't been.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to first show of 2020, and per Jake's request, we decided to go with Old Town Road for the intro song. Jake, are you happy?
I am. It kind of goes with my my whole theme for the episode, pretty much.
All right, so that is Jacob Middleton down in the States, and joining us over in Pickering is Austin Owens. Austin, welcome to 2020. How's it goes it?
Oh, yeah. Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year.
Bustling metropolis of Pickering, Ontario. What's happening, boys? Happy New Year.
Oh, yeah. Well, we took a little bit of a break to end 2019, so we're coming in fresh. We're coming in hot, because guess what? The Toronto Maple Leafs, they're red hot. They are
scalding hot.
They open the year with arguably one of those games where it could have gone ugly, and they flipped. It was like flipping switches. First period, pretty good. Second period, not good, but then they salvaged it with a couple of interesting goals. And then in the third period, that third period, I think, was one of their better when holding a lead. Even though they won the game 5-3, I think this was one of their. This was a little bit of a statement game in my mind. What do you guys?
They won 6-3, by the way.
Yeah, they did win 6-3. They had, I think, what? Just one goal in the third. How many goals did they score in the third?
They're one.
Yeah, just the one. So a big win. So now under Sheldon Keefe, they are 14-4-1. And an interesting stat from, I think, Sportsnet Stats put this out. Toronto has scored four or more goals in 9 consecutive games for the first time since February 1993. I think that encapsulates everything that's been going on with the Leafs for the past month and a bit. Don't you think, guys?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's incredible what happens when you ride your horses. Like I said in the intro, they are just riding their best players. I don't know why they did not do that for, what was it, 4 years that jackass was here. Oh, loves playing our fucking fourth line. But, I mean, look at the stat sheet. Look at the points that their top players are putting up. Like, look at Nylander and Tavares. Since they've been put on the same line, they're on like Dreisaitl McDavid paces. They got like 2 points a game over the last six games. It's ridiculous.
I think what's incredible here is not only the scoring, but as you mentioned, Jake, all of a sudden now John Tavares and William Nylander appears to be a better line together with Kerfoot on that left wing than, you know, Marner. I mean, Marner and Tavares were really good last year, but now you have two lines that are a legit scoring threat every night.
No, they're two of the best lines in the entire league. Like, they're two legit elite number one lines.
Yeah.
Like, imagine that in playoffs. Like, people were talking about how the Bruins, like, had trouble, or the Leafs have trouble with the Bruins. Last playoffs, I mean, the Bruins had trouble with the Leafs. I mean, you could tell. I know Kadri got suspended, but there were times where in the game, the Leafs were just skating circles around them. And it just looks like you got these first lines, guys like Matthews and Tavares, they're going against second pairings, and they are eating them alive. I mean, I think it was it the second Nylander goal where they just had that, like, 10-second spree of, like, 15 passes, and it was like tic-tac, tic-tac, tic-tac-toe. And it just went in. It was perfect. How are you going to stop that? Imagine handling that. Like, how are you as a coaching staff going to be like, okay, we got to put our best line on to shut down this line. Oh shit! Now we got a second line where we got to do that. Like,
how you stop it, Jacob? Brian Burke gave you the blueprint in the pregame.
Hit them. You punch them in the face. You two hand them. You give them 10 power plays, and they score 9. He's a fucking idiot. I don't want to hear him. I don't want to hear his voice.
He's a moron. William Nylander is a European who won't go to the middle, Jake. He doesn't throw hits. He's not good.
The thing is, like, the sad part is you watch Nylander's goals. I feel like I haven't seen one goal that's not within the paint. Like, everything he's done is in the home plate area. Both of his goals tonight were pretty much in the home plate area too. I mean, one was might have been right below it because it was side of the net, but I'm going to count it. I mean, and the first one was he was right in the slot. Like, I don't know. These old idiots who have these stupid opinions from, like, the fucking 90s. Like, shit hasn't changed in a while. It doesn't make any sense. And, like, I was watching just the TSN feed, but because unfortunately, I only get the games, the feeds during the games. But I mean, I just can't imagine some of the dribble this guy's been talking about. It's funny because he probably, if he was a GM of another team, probably would have given up 2 firsts, a second, and more picks to get a player like Nylander. Like, I'm like I've always said, I'm usually very moderate whatever I grade players. Like, there's shit he does that pisses me off, but like, I don't care. I don't look at him and say, "Oh man, he's not shutting down the first line defensively. He's not getting in and cross checking a guy." It's like, that's not his role. Like, if you have these expectations for someone, it's not going to work. Like, if you look at a 5'5" white guy and you say, "Why isn't he dunking like LeBron James?" That's your fault. Like, that's all on you, man. That's your expectations. Change them.
But he only played 4 minutes of good hockey the other night, Jake.
I mean, if you're playing, I don't give a shit if he plays 4 seconds of good hockey. If he puts up 3 points a night, he can play 3 seconds a night. Like, it's just idiotic takes of these people that are just getting slammed. Like, I've been wrong before. Nothing is worse than being wrong and maintaining you're not wrong when you're wrong. Doubling down when you're so clearly wrong. It's absurd. And they'll just be like, "Well, I have an opinion. You got to stick with it," which is the natural thing people do nowadays. Like, it fucking means anything. Today's society, people have opinions and they stand by them. Like, I thought Lamar Jackson was terrible. I thought he couldn't throw the ball. I never thought he'd be good. He's the MVP of the league. He's an amazing football player. I was wrong. He is unbelievable. Look at that. I just said I was wrong. I'm an idiot, and he's very good. I love watching Lamar Jackson now. It's just like, if you have such a closed-minded opinion of something where you're never going to change, I mean, it's at this point, we just have to continue to mock those people for having such dumb opinions. And that's what I'm continuing to do. That's why every time I score, I always just go back and check, and I'm just like,
yeah,
fuck you.
That's the best part is we've talked so, and I love, by the way, not being the most heated person in this conversation about William Nylander for once.
it just gets so annoying. Like, Jake's reached the breaking point, man. It just pisses me off. You've joined me on the island. Like, I used to look at it when he was playing like shit last year, and people were like, well, he's not been that bad. His underlying numbers show he's been unlucky. It's like, nah, he sucked. He sucked last year. And he put it on himself. He said he was terrible, and he said he was going to come back and dominate, and he has. I mean, like, I don't know. Like, I still don't get how people are complaining when they've won, what? They're what, 14? They're 14-3-1 or something like that?
14-4-1.
Because 14-4-1.
They are dummying teams. They are literally just said to the Winnipeg Jets, Connor Hellebuyck, the best goalie in the West, you are trash. We are going to put up a touchdown on your head. And they did. And they did that to every other team. I hope if they beat the shit out of the Islanders, I might have a cardiac arrest. I'll be so happy. That's the last one. That's the Infinity Stone from Thanos and the Avengers. Put in the event, like, kick the shit out of the Islanders.
I got you.
Then I'm complete. I'll just be like full power.
the Photoshop's coming. Don't worry.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
So a couple of things here. No, I think you're right, Jake. I think William Nylander has been playing, I think, his best hockey as a Toronto Maple Leaf since Sheldon Keefe took
over. To be honest, I look at all four of the Leafs' best players, Marner, Nylander, Tavares, Matthews. I think all four of them are playing the best they've ever played, best I've ever seen them play.
Yeah,
Matthews could have had three or four goals tonight. He hit the post three times, I think, and had a bunch of chances that he just missed. I thought he was dominant. I mean, Tavares, he's been unbelievable since he came back from injury. He's been amazing. Now, Marner, I mean, as you guys know, I was pretty pissed during those negotiations that he had. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't think he was being realistic, but I don't give a shit. It's signed. It's done. They can't change it. That's the thing people don't understand. You can't go be like, oh, we rip it up. We're going to do another one. Doesn't work like that. You can't do that. You can't restructure. This is in the NFL. So I'm just backing a player. I didn't like his game early on. I didn't like in the playoffs last year. But he's playing great, and I'm giving him credit. He still can't shoot, but who cares? He's got, like, what, 25 assists or something like that?
Well, you're asking me to look up stats right now. But go.
You want stats, guy.
I figured you had him offhand, but I guess not.
Well, I had William Nylander stats, and you turned him in. I'm just like, crap, he's turning direction.
Well, yeah. Jake's pivoting. Nylander's got 8 goals in the last 7 games, and I think he's – did he have an assist tonight?
He's got almost 40 points. He does. He had 2-1.
Yeah, so he's got 8 goals, 7 assists in his last 6 games or 7 games then?
Well, I got even some better stats here for Nylander.
What's his pace now? It's over 70 at this point because of the
it's
3.
It's
got
to be 72. Yeah. He's at 39 points. And yeah, that's almost point per game there at 41 games. He's got to be like 75.
So I don't
know. That's just offhand.
I don't know how regularly NHL.com updates their stats when it comes to current players, but...
Well, it's the thing Jake was saying with Nylander, and we're going to keep going back to it, because we're all big Nylander guys, I would say, in here.
I wouldn't say I'm a guy. I'm just somebody, when I see someone doing well... Yeah, I'm not an asshole. I'm not somebody who's just like, well, what is one flaw he's had thus far? Well, he did have a bad turnover. It's like, fuck it. Look at James Neal. He's got 20 goals. He's a minus 25. How's that possible? Wasn't this team number one in the league like a month ago?
We need to get an Edmonton Oilers.
Oh, that's another thing. Imagine... Go over across the country, look at the Oilers. They are fucking killing them. Their stupid beat reporters are blaming McDavid and Dreisaitl. These dudes have 150 points between them. Without them, they'd have fucking 10 points as a team.
Yeah.
Like,
Are they playing together right now?
If they're not, they're stupid. Like, people say they should break them up. You are a fucking idiot if you break them up.
It's... It's the thing I always I'm a big fan of Leon Draisaitl and his game, but
for
he's
me,
gotta prove himself without McDavid.
For me, no, I don't give a shit. He's unbelievable. He's a winger. He's a winger, though. Don't tell me he's a center, because he's not.
Yeah.
I was a center. I was a center until I started playing wing because I was not good enough defensively. Neither is Leon Draisaitl. He's a guy that likes to get up and go. I don't blame him. If I could score 130 points, if I could score 55 goals in the NHL, I would give zero fucks about defense. Nor should you.
I have 105 points and I'm making $8 million a year in the show. I don't want to play defense.
No.
Get it.
I mean, it's not that I don't want to, but like, don't ask me to be like fucking, I'm not going to be Patrice Bergeron. It's just not going to happen. Like, you're not paying me to win draws and to track back and block shots. It's just not his game. I mean, that's another thing. I think that's just like a problem with fans of the league. Like, they're expecting players to have impacts like LeBron James's or Kawhi Leonard's or Kevin Durant's. Like, this isn't basketball. You can't have someone control the ball 50% of the time. That's not the way the game's played. You run four lines deep. It's impossible to play 48 minutes. I mean,
a dude in basketball scoring 40 to 50% of the team's points is run of the mill, pretty much.
I mean, look at LeBron James. Like, he's averaging like he's like 35. He's averaging 26 and 11. Like, that's probably
James 50, Harden averaged like 35 points this year.
He's averaging 38. I think he contributes about 50 points a game, which is unbelievable. That's about half of their team's offense.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
That is legitimately what the Oilers, too, are doing. They are doing NBA style of stuff where they have two players legitimately carrying a shithole team to the playoffs. I don't think they're in the playoffs right now. I know they just somehow lost to freaking Buffalo.
Yeah.
But the fact they have points in the 40s is nothing short of incredible. And if they don't get – one of them doesn't get the MVP – that's a joke. Then just call it. No. I don't care if they make the playoffs. Just call it the must make the playoffs award then.
Yeah.
Because
exactly.
There's nobody more valuable than them. You take them out, they're the worst team to ever exist.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, you take them out, and their first line's Ryan Nugent Hopkins, Zach Cassian, and Gayton Haas.
So here, this is where I was going to get at.
I got
the lines right.
Here's a question. What do you think the gap is between second on the team in points and third? I'm going to say it's 30 points. I might say 35.
At one point when McDavid and Draisaitl were at like 38, 40 points, Zach Cassian was at like 15, and he was the third scorer or something.
I think it's 35 points.
Well, now you're asking me to do more looking.
Dave stats guy, let's go.
Yeah, come on.
I'm like listening to you two.
I'm playing video games and arguing about sports simultaneously. It's your job on stats today.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so
Oh my God. So I got it.
Yeah, I got it here too. You're
gonna
laugh.
Take a guess.
Almost
what it is.
40 points.
It's it like is 35 points.
Is it Nuge, the third scorer?
No, it's Neil.
James Neal.
He's got like fucking
because of the goals. Yeah. He's going for the what is it? The fucking
he's
Cy
going
Young?
For the Masters.
No, the Cy Young.
The Cy Young.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's
most
goals with no assists.
Yeah, he's got like 19 and like 6 or something.
Well, Laine's gotten eight. That the last couple of years. He's had like 40 goals and 6 assists.
He's also in the running to win the Masters, too. He's
was
like
it?
Minus 23.
During the broadcast today, somebody said Laine's got 24 assists already. Good for him.
I mean...
That's his career high by about 23 assists.
They look like a team in shambles, though. How many scoring chances do you think they allowed? I think they allowed around 20. I feel like every shot the Leafs had was a great save or a great chance to score a goal.
Yeah.
They could have scored 10 tonight.
I honestly didn't watch too... Like, at points I was watching full on, but other points I was just sort of tuning in. It seemed to me like the entire game the Leafs were in their zone and somehow they were out shooting them 3-1.
Yeah. I mean,
I
the guy that did shot effects, he needs to lay off the freaking legal weed, I guess, that's out there because it was ridiculous. So it's like there's no way they had 50 shots. There is no way.
Liney almost had a fifth of them on his own. He had like 15 tonight.
15? Like, the NHL record is like 17.
Here, I'm gonna pull it up. He had 11 at one point in the game. I don't know what he finished with.
Maybe shot attempts.
He scored with a goal.
No way he had 15 shots on net.
Okay.
That's unbelievable. That's basically a shot every shift.
So there's a couple of things I'm going to bring up here, because I think Jake's been doing a lot of talking.
I have.
Dave has been very quiet. You can take the reins here.
So, Jake, you want to guess how many shots on goal Patrick Laine finished the night with?
Didn't you just say 15?
Okay, I was off by a couple.
No way. What did he have?
Low
or 13.
15?
Yeah, 13.
Oh, 13. Okay, thank God.
But, okay, you look. 13 shots on goal. The next closest was Kyle Connor with 5.
Yeah, I mean, 13 shots is unbelievable. Like, I have seen Ovechkin. I thought he shot the puck, like, remember his game against the Leafs earlier this year? I thought he shot the puck 70 times. He probably had 70 shot attempts, and he had 11 on net. I could have sworn nobody took more shots in the history of the sport, and he only had 11. So there's no freaking way he had 13.
I don't know. I mean, I'm just looking back here because I do remember that game. He had 10 against the Leafs, so yeah, it's very possible.
And they played in overtime.
Yeah, exactly. All right, a couple of things I wanted to bring up here. So when it comes to the Oilers, you're very bang on about it's just pretty much a two-man team based on the points. Here's how the Oilers lines were tonight. This was the lineup.
Oh, no.
You had James Neal between McDavid between Neal and Cassian, which we expected.
Cassian on the first. Jeez.
You had...
They're literally just throwing a homeless person on the first line with them.
Yeah.
They're just throwing literal shit at the wall.
Your second line was Draisaitl, Nugent Hopkins, and Yamamoto, who was just called up and hasn't exactly been lighting the lamp. But
Yamamoto, are you kidding?
He was like supposed to be what Cole Caulfield is. That's how they...
No.
They sort of... Man, well, that's how he was, like a tiny guy who can shoot the puck.
People jump on that Alex DeBrincat thing, acting like this is common now.
Every single player that's 5'8 or smaller is Alex DeBrincat.
Yeah, like, for every Martin St. Louis, there's a Nathan Gerby. Like, guys who can score like 5 to 10 goals a game. Like, it's just like, wow, they are really small. Like, I don't know. I mean... Good luck to Cole Caulfield, but man, it is really hard to be that small and to be that good. It's just it doesn't happen. Like I'm trying to think of guys under 5'8" that I know that can score a bunch of goals. I think there's maybe been 4 in the history of the league that are under.
He's 5'11".
No, I was gonna say Brian Gionta. Alex DeBrincat, Martin St. Louis. Those are the only ones I could think of that have scored 40 goals.
Danny Briere was over that, right?
Yeah, he was like 5'10".
Yeah. All right, this is the rest of the Oilers lineup. So you had Nygaard, Haas, who I'd never even heard of, and Chiasson.
I've never heard of Nygaard.
I named a guy.
Yeah. And then you have the fourth line of Kyra, Sheahan, and Archibald.
Oh, I forgot Riley Sheahan was on that team.
The thing is, that's sad is Jujhar Khaira, I would love him on the Leafs. He's a good player. I don't know why he's on the fourth line. He should be on the first line, for God's sakes.
He could probably do enough of a serviceable job to replace Cassian, I would think. He
probably could.
Yeah, and isn't Cassian a free agent?
Yes.
He's probably going to get like an 8 extension away. And the lack of wingers they have.
He's going to get like 32 over 8.
Yeah. You're the best we got, Zach. Get in here. Cody Hudson,
unbelievable. Somebody was trying to make the Cassian connection to Tom Wilson, and I almost lost myself.
No. Chill. No, Tom Wilson was a first round pick. He had like 75 points in junior.
Jake, you forget that Cassian was a first round pick.
He's like 40 pounds heavier than Cassian.
That's true.
Tom Wilson's like a legit 250. Guy's a monster. There's no Tom Wilson's in the league. There's one. It's Tom Wilson.
Like, size-wise, Ryan Reeves is the closest, But Ryan Reeves can't score or even touch
Ryan
the puck.
Ryan Reeves is out there.
He's not allowed to
punch Tom Wilson in the face.
And
I don't know. People shat all over that Tom Wilson contract. I laughed when I saw it. He's a fucking good player. If he didn't have his obvious suspension issues, I'd have no problem paying him that. He's just the only thing is he's kind of like a ticking time bomb because everything he does, I've had this issue myself. If you're a guy that is over 6 foot three, every time you hit someone, it looks like you're elbowing him in the face because you're just that big. He's that big a guy. He's a legit 6'5", like 240 pounds. He hits everybody. It looks like he's elbowing them straight in the face. It's got to be borderline impossible. I was the one the whole time. I didn't think that Aston Reese one where he broke his jaw, I did not think that was a suspendable hit. I just thought that's a big man that's hitting someone a lot smaller than him, and he is causing serious pain to someone.
We've seen a lot of that from him this year, especially. So let's circle back here, because the whole thing, we brought up William Nylander. And it's funny, because I'm looking at the stats here. So Sportsnet Stats has this graphic up comparing Nylander under Babcock and Nylander under Keefe. So
please, I would love to hear this.
So under Babcock, we'll start with the Babcock part.
Is this just this season?
This season, yeah.
Okay. Oh, goodness gracious.
So in 23 games this year, Nylander had 8 goals, 17 points, 3 power play points, while averaging 18 minutes a night under Babcock.
Why did he only have 3 power play points? But go on.
Under Keefe, second power play with
that's idiotic.
19 games under Keefe, Nylander had 11 goals, 21 points, and 7 power play points. And this is the killer part.
It's unbelievable.
He is averaging 17 minutes and 42 seconds. He is playing
less. Probably because he doesn't put him in the fucking defensive zone for defensive zone draws. Like, I don't understand it. Like, he did that all the time. He's like, it's a learning experience. It's like, sometimes dudes don't got it, man.
This is the funny part. Since Keefe has taken over as head coach, how many times have we seen the second power play unit?
Like, never. And it's amazing. You want to know why? Because our second unit is shit compared to our first unit.
Yeah. You know what's been the biggest, I think, the biggest
Leafs got to have, what, the number one or number two power play unit since he came in?
I know that right now they're currently fifth in the league. Or roughly
they were like 35th when they had Babs.
Okay, so I have to figure, when did Keefe take over?
He took over against Phoenix. Phoenix.
On November 20,
You were in 20th. Calgary, Austin. This would be easier.
Yeah, this is why I'm trying to figure out the specific day it was in Calgary. It was either the 20th or the 21st.
No, it was against Phoenix. That was his first game.
Yeah. So I think
Phoenix,
got it here.
Arizona, whatever. So he took over.
Glendale Coyotes.
Yeah. He took over November 21st against Arizona.
Yes, sir.
All right. So I got it here. I got it. It's probably not. I think we might. Oh, 19 games. I think that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, 14-4-1.
The Leafs do have the best power play.
probably a top 5 penalty kill.
The power play is 35.7%.
That's unbelievable. That's 80s Oilers-esque.
Now, unfortunately, the penalty kill is 16th in the league at 79.5.
That's fine. If you get over 100% combined, that's good.
I think
it's 100 or 110%.
No,
I think it's the 100% rule.
So just to give you a hint, so now the Leafs power play is fifth in the league at 24.1%. I think it was like middle of the league when Babcock was coaching. The penalty kill is at 75.4. So we're roughly close to that 100 mark. I think it's more so also that they don't take them as many penalties as I've seen lately. I think that's the one thing under Keefe is you're not seeing the same
lazy stick penalties. I mean,
yeah.
The thing that impresses me most with Keefe is that tell me if I'm wrong or I'm forgetting anybody. He's gotten the most out of every single guy that's come, like Marlies that have come up that are the ones that I'm seeing the most, where Timoshov's playing well. Brooks got his first point tonight. Congrats to Adam Brooks.
Yeah.
Good job, Brooksy.
For me,
Engvall. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's been unbelievable.
You can't send that guy down.
No, you can't.
No. No.
He should not play another AHL game ever again.
No, oh, no, never again. Also, I like the fact that they're also bigger. Like, they've added, like, Mason Marchman is a big guy.
They're bigger, but they're not.
Pierre Engvall is a big guy. I mean, I'm not talking about guys like Ryan Reeves who will get into fights. I'm talking about, like, big bodies where you know they're there. Like, they're not guys like Gauthier who Brad Marchand could punch him in the face and he wouldn't do anything to Brad Marchand. Like, these guys, like, I'm not asking them to, like, cross-check people in the face.
Mason Marchman will do that, though.
Yeah, Mason Marchman will do that. That's why I think he's one of those hybrid guys that kind of appeases both sides of the Leafs fan base, the ones that are, you know, super analytically driven and those that, you know, like watching somebody get, like, their neck broken, which is absurd. But, I mean, I kind of like seeing that every now and then. Not somebody getting seriously hurt, but somebody getting laid out is nice to see. But I kind of like the mix that they have with getting some of these bigger guys up, because it was really, really frustrating, especially in the playoffs, watching a team that's not big. Like, the Bruins are not big.
No, they're not. They play big. Big
team. No. They have two guys that are big. Yes. Chera's big. Carlo's big. They got a couple guys that like him that are big guys, but they play because they act like they'll never get penalties. They're like, the refs just act like that's their style and the rules don't apply. But they have guys that will just show up. Like, even Pasternak. Pasternak's a little shit. Like, he would get his ass kicked by anybody else in the league. But he actually tries. He tries to, you know, play with an edge and stuff like that. I just don't want guys getting pushed around. Like, if you get face washed, I want you to hit them back. I don't want you to be stupid and slash them right on the wrists or something like that, and where you're taking penalties. But I want there to be something where you're not getting – it doesn't look like they're bullying you. And, I mean, specifically, I went to the game in Boston in game two, which was a joke, the one where Kadri got suspended. It looked like they got bullied the entire game. And, I mean, it kind of – it's different because they're not getting – physically dominated, but they're dominating teams skill-wise, which is exactly what you want to do. So it's frustrating the hell out of other teams. Like, can you imagine just being on that Winnipeg bench? They're like, we had 50 shots tonight, and we got fucking smashed.
Yeah. No, I totally
agree.
They could
have allowed 10 goals.
No, I totally agree with that, because here's the thing. So I looked it up. The Leafs, during Keith's time, have taken only 44 penalties in 19 games. That is the fewest in the NHL. And one thing we've started to notice more is teams are now taking more penalties against the Leafs.
Yeah, because they should. Like, they have these ridiculously skilled players. It is unbelievable how they were like, I felt like they were dead last in the league at drawing penalties.
They were close,
but it's because there were times where, some things weren't called, but they also don't really have a style that is good for drawing penalties. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's different. Like, they had four power plays today. If they can get, I'm not saying consistently four, but if they can get two or three a night, they could score potentially one goal a game just off of power plays.
Yeah.
And
then you add the way they're firing at 5-on-5.
Oh, where they're on 5-on-5, where they're firing on the power play. I mean, I was at the game in New York, and they had a power play. I forget who it was that scored it.
Probably Nylander.
It might have been it probably was Nylander. Well, they just had, like, I was sitting next to a Rangers fan, and he was just like, holy shit, the freaking passing they did. They had like 10 passes in 10 seconds, and it ended up in the back of the net. The thing that reminds me the most of what the Leafs wanted to do is, do you remember the game last year against San Jose when they beat the hell out of them? It was like 6-2, Matthews, and that was when their power play was like 4-for-4. And I think Tavares scored twice. And they had a play where it was just like Marner to Matthews to Nylander, back to Marner, back to Matthews, and then he just went right over to Tavares, who was in front of the net and banged it in. It's just like, guys are looking at that and it's just like, we are fucked. We cannot take penalties or we're fucked.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to do, because basically in the NHL, it's ridiculous. The best penalty kills are the ones that are extremely aggressive. The most aggressive power play or penalty kill I've ever seen is the Boston Bruins. You want to know how you beat aggressive power plays? You move the puck, because you got one more guy than them. If you just sit around and just take outside shots, that's what they want to do. That's what they were doing when their power play stunk. They were just moving around the outside, and they weren't trying to get inside that home plate area and just scoring goals. And if they can do that, if they ever match up against a team like the Bruins that has a really aggressive power play, which seems to be all of the rage nowadays, which I don't understand, they'll kill them. And especially with the style that the Bruins are going to play, they're not going to change. They're going to take penalties.
Yep.
That's the thing that killed them last year and years in the past. They just got killed on the penalty kill, and they couldn't score on the power play. And if they did, they probably win both those series.
And the thing you talked about going to game two, like we talked, Dave and I talked about that on the podcast, being like the one game that the Bruins turned it into a complete gong show and exactly how they wanted to play.
They did not call a thing.
No, exactly. It was prison rules, and that's exactly how the Bruins want to play. And, I mean, the Leafs played with speed, and Babcock couldn't adapt to it in the end, and that's why they lost that series. And among other things, they just choked away a 3-2 series lead. 3-2. Trying to think of how many Game 7 series we've choked away.
So here, a couple of things. Yeah, a couple.
Three, yeah. Yeah. That's bad. I don't even remember how many it is now. I'm like,
three against the Bruins. Three against the Bruins. It's easy to figure it out.
One choke.
I can remember it vividly, too. Every single one I can remember vividly.
I remember exactly where I was. But
Yep, every time.
Well, I know I was with Dave when Kadri drove what's-his-name head first into the boards with his ass in 2018.
Oh, damn it.
I forget it. I want to say...
I don't even think he's on the team on the Bruins anymore. Not.
Tommy Wingles?
Yes.
Yes, that was it. It was Tommy Wingles.
Because I think Chara took Mitch out.
Yeah. Anyhow.
So
don't open up those windows.
No, but a couple of things here about the power play. I think the biggest change is that William Nylander in the slot. Teams aren't accounting for
utilizing the bumper. This is what we talked about.
Yeah.
They need to do when we were discussing why the Leafs had power play issues. The bumper was a non-factor in the old power play.
Like, where are you going to score the majority of your chances? In the danger zone, dangerous area, which
home
is
plate.
In front of the net. Yes, exactly. Tavares, where he was, side of the net there, that's now become his bread and butter. Auston Matthews loves that sideboard because his shot does not take a long time to get off. So if he's got the goalie moving side to side, that goalie is toast. And then Nylander in front of the net has been like, you were saying, Jake, how many goals is he scoring in front of the net untouched?
I can't think of one that he's had where it hasn't been.
I think every single one. So I think that's just been the biggest change, is that you're seeing.
The one on the power play that sticks out to me is the one against Carolina when he walked in and ripped it.
Yeah. Like, nobody is able, because they're like, we got to look after Matthews. Then we got to look after Tavares. Oh, Marner's the quarterback. Now that you had Tyson Barrie too, because now we know Tyson Barrie's a legitimate offensive threat on the power play, I think he just added another dimension right there. So I think two things are happening here right now. I think Keefe is basically telling these guys, we want you to score. We understand that we can't be blowing 3-0 leads. Like, that game against Carolina was very frustrating, but they also were just like, okay, we pooped the bed here on our defensive play in that second period. We're going to score, what did they score, 5 goals in that third period? Are you kidding me? Against Carolina, who are supposedly such a deep defensive team?
Yeah, no, they're fraudulent. I just envision what happened to them last year against Boston. They just can't score. Yeah. Like, there's what, 2 guys on their whole team that scare me?
In that game, it was who were the two players that were scoring all those goals for them?
It was Hala
and
Hala
Nikas
as well. Yeah,
yeah, Nikas. Hala played well, but he's still like if I see him on a power play, I'm like, okay, shoot it. You're not gonna score. Yeah.
Freddie also like, didn't have his best game.
He played horrible.
Yeah. So here's another thing: the Bruins right now lead the Atlantic with 59 points because they have 11 OT losses.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
The Leafs have 51. The last 10 games, I'm looking here, the Leafs
they have to have made up six, eight points.
Roughly. The Leafs are 8-1-1 in the last 10. The Bruins, 4-1-5.
Yeah, they played really bad.
The Bruins have not, like, goaltending has not been their problem, because I know because I have Halak in my fantasy league. He's been pretty good. The problem is, They're winning the games, or they're playing those games that Brian Burke likes that we were talking about. The 3-2s, the 2-1s, the 4-3s, like those really tight games. The problem here is with the Bruins, once Pastrnak, Marchand, and Bergeron aren't scoring, they have to rely on guys like Charlie Coyle. You guys are going to have to add in some players here because, like...
That's the thing I maintain. They're not a deep team at all. Like offensively, they have one ridiculously good line. The rest, they're just guys. Like they're guys that are not great players. Like maximum 50-point players.
Okay, Jake, we went through this experiment with the Oilers. So Pastrnak 30-30 now. He has 60 points. Absolutely ridiculous.
He's an unbelievable player.
Marchand, 59 points. I don't know why he's not going to the All-Star game, but...
Because Tyler Bertuzzi's got to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Such a silly...
Patrice Bergeron, he's only played 33 games, so because of that, he has 17 goals in 33 games. Absolutely ridiculous. 36 points. Then it's Krejci at 28. Like, I'm not afraid of David Krejci and his 8 goals. Jake DeBrusk, 11 goals. Like... He's a guy that's had issues, like the Leafs have had issues with, but in a playoff.
Not really. I mean, I feel like every goal he scored against us in the playoffs was just a shitty goal to allow.
So this is where I'm going to get at here. So Anderson, we know Freddie got his first All-Star nod. We couldn't be happier for the guy.
Finally.
You know, he's deserving of it. The problem is like, oh, you know, he only, you know, people look at the wins category. Considering the workload this guy has had since coming to Toronto, I don't think there's a goalie in the NHL who has faced a workload as high as Frederik Andersen.
There isn't.
There is no goalie in the NHL that has. He's not going to have a 925, 924 save percentage. If he does, that's Vezina right there. Like he would be a lock for the Vezina. He should have multiple Vezinas if that was the case. What the Leafs just need him to do, make the saves when it matters, and you'll get the win. Because this offense can carry this team. And I have said the last 2 years, Frederik Andersen has not been the reason why the Leafs have been able to get over the hump. What I mean is that he's been good, but not good enough to get them over the hump.
Saying he's not? He's not the reason? I think he has been.
He's been one of the reasons, but he's not the main reason.
Brutal game. No, I think he's had some pretty brutal games.
Okay, let me rephrase. He hasn't been good enough to get them over the hump. His play.
That's fair, yeah. He just, I don't know. Sometimes, like in the playoffs, it's weird. It's either really good or really bad.
Yeah.
And you can't have that. You got to be either really good or average.
So right now, if you're the Leafs, this is the question that I have. Because first place in the Atlantic, with the way they're playing right now, very attainable, I think. Because
What are they, 7 back?
They're 8 back.
How many games do they have in hand? Probably
none.
2?
None. They're locked in. So
play Boston again?
I think they have 2 more games against Boston.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
aren't they at the end of the year or something?
An 8-point swing.
One or two. I can't remember now. Because I think they played one in Boston.
They played in TD Garden once and Toronto once.
Okay. I think. I can't remember exactly. I just remember
maybe they lost. TD Garden twice. I don't know. I remember just that. Anyway,
they played three games. They're 1-2.
Oh, okay. Really?
There we go.
Yeah.
Thanks.
They played twice in Toronto and once in
Boston. Yeah, and I think they won. They lost one in overtime.
They won one in overtime, and they lost two in regulation.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah, the one that Marchand picked up the cup because of the Hall of Fame game. I remember that now.
And yeah,
which didn't make any sense, but okay.
Yeah. So, remarkably, and I kind of expect this, the Tampa Bay Lightning are third.
Yeah. That's what I was about to ask. Where is Tampa?
They have 48 points.
I'm not afraid of them at all, though.
No, I think
they are right for the picking.
Tampa Bay's goaltending has not been good enough.
I don't think any of them have been good enough. I haven't really tracked them. I don't know how they're winning. They could be just outscoring teams, but no, I don't look at them as like a juggernaut. I mean, I really think nobody looks at them and is afraid at all after last year.
Yeah,
it's kind of like when you have that bully in school. Then you see him get his ass beat by someone that's 5'2", 140 pounds, and it's like, wow, you're a pussy. Like, I could beat your ass. Like, that's what I look at them, and I think, wow, you stink. So unless you prove to me that you don't, you got to do it again. Like, I don't fear them at all. I would love to play them.
So that's my question. If you're the Leafs, do you stay in that two hole? You get your home ice?
No.
Or do you go for first?
Yeah, obviously you go for first. Yeah. Like what? Why would you? Then you'd get a play like fucking exactly. Pittsburgh or something. Pittsburgh's got Tristan Jarry. We'd put touchdowns on him.
Well,
like
they also put touchdowns on us too.
The guy is a borderline AHL goaltender who is on a heater of his life. Like so, this does Lightning doesn't strike twice. He's not going to become Binnington.
So if you want,
we also put a touchdown up on.
Yeah, so here's something I wanted to bring up. You're wondering, okay, the last month, so in the month of, I said from December until now, Alex Killorn has been absolutely incredible for Tampa. 17 points in 14 games. I don't see that lasting.
No.
Stamkos, 16 points in 15 games, that's normal for him. Hedman, 15 and 15, normal for him. Kucherov, 14 and 15. Kind of below average for Kucherov and Braden Point 13 and 15. Like
anything more than what he had last year, that was below average for Kucherov. The bar's kind of set high for him at this point.
Yeah, so I think what
do you have like 125 last year?
He had 127, I think, because he he finished with like as many or just a few less points than the Lightning did in the standings.
Yes, that's right. There was a joke of who would get to 120 points first.
Yeah.
He had 128 last year.
28.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
And he has 42 and 38. Like he'll probably will get close to 100 this year, but he's not.
He's still going to at least hit 90.
Yeah, so I think that's also another thing
too.
He's
a bum, obviously, but
no, he's unbelievable.
But I think,
but like outside of that, like hasn't Braden Point been brutal?
He hasn't been. I mean, the problem is he had.
It's been last year's Braden Point.
He had hip surgery
or something? Yeah, I think so.
Like he had
something like that.
Yeah, he had an operation that kind of caught everyone off guard and you're just like, oh, like how's that gonna affect him? He has 32 points in 35 games, which is like
not bad.
That's like what Nylander's getting.
Yeah.
Right?
Isn't he only making like $6 million though? He took one of those bridge deals.
He took
probably, so I mean
probably a good thing
Yeah, imagine he was making harder money putting that point up. People in Tampa wouldn't really care that much.
I mean, fuck them. I mean, I hate Tampa. They're a bunch of losers. Them and their little bullshit state income tax crap. Piss off. No, it's annoying. I mean, it's legitimately cheating. Like, they're basically getting a $100 million cap. And they're just like, oh, well, that's just the way it is. It's like, no, it's not. But okay, go at it. If you're not going to allow a luxury tax, I hope they lose all the time. And then I hope those players look back and say, damn, I really left $10 million on the table to win nothing. But we'll see.
Yeah.
I just want to play them. I want to play them or Montreal. and I just want to smoke them.
Montreal would be fun.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Regions.
Well, I think just right now, I think the Leafs have... I mean, they picked the right time to get hot because Boston has been slipping off. Tampa has been good just because they've won five straight, but it's a crazy because I think, like, Florida, to me, is going to be one of the wild card teams.
Have we even played them yet?
No. I don't think we have.
We played them very soon.
It's like Buffalo last year. We played, like, three times in 2 weeks.
Yeah, the schedule has been really, really weird. I think we played Tampa on
We played Ottawa, once?
Once. Yeah, like the first part of the season they beat us.
No, we beat them in the home opener.
Yeah, we beat them in the home opener.
Oh, right. That was Montreal I'm thinking of that beat us.
Yeah.
Right. The Leafs play the Panthers on the 12th. Jacob, we are hammering the over in that game.
Yeah, they'll probably be like 7-4. Is that the first one in February? I'm going to that Leafs swing in Florida.
That's in January.
It's in February.
Well, they play once in Florida in January, and then they do another one.
Jake, yeah, well, they do the swing with Tampa. It's in Florida. It's in February.
Yeah, it's the second and third, I think.
No, it's more. It's later than that. I think it's like the 18th or something.
Okay, let me see here. The 18th, nothing. I'm looking at my.
I'm not saying a specific date. I'm guesstimating.
You're guesstimating wrong right now because I can't find
Jesus.
It. I'm trying. Well, my Google Calendar is also not.
We're doing our best.
It's clearly not good enough, boys. That's probably the next thing on my bucket list is to do a Leaf trip in Florida.
Oh yeah, especially when it's cold as hell. Although it's been very, very moderate as of late. Don't know about you guys, but
six it's been degrees like 40, tomorrow, 50. 6 degrees on Friday. Gonna enjoy.
That's pretty good.
Gonna enjoy that one.
Not shorts weather, but pretty close.
I'll take it.
So considering the time,
well, shorts weather for some people in Ontario.
No. That's a nice Winnipeg summer day.
Yeah, pretty much. So
it's balmy, Joshua.
As much as I like to talk forever, we're going to go to our last point of the podcast. Jake's favorite
William
point.
Nylander.
Nope. Willie has had his day. Willie has had his day. Because, Jacob, have you looked at the NHL scoring list lately?
I have, actually.
Jacob, would you like to tell me who is second in the league in goals?
Yeah, it's Auston Matthews.
Weren't we kind of complaining a little bit about Auston Matthews a couple weeks
ago? I was not, because I'm not an idiot.
Was I complaining about him?
I do not think you were.
Okay. Because some people, I had one person who listens to our podcast say that I was being a little bit hard on Auston Matthews.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you just want to see so much more because he's unbelievable, but...
We know he's unbelievable.
I could care less. Like, people, like, they take the words that the idiot Mike Babcock said. He's like, well, he's going to be a next Datsyuk. It's like, no, he's not. He's the next Auston Matthews. He's a guy with a shot 100 times better than Datsyuk's ever was. I mean, what? They're completely different players. Like, whenever I watch... I didn't compare them at all. Like, I can't think of a centerman outside of maybe Joe Sakic that I compare Matthews to just because of the shot. The best wrist shot I've ever seen in my life is Joe Sakic's. Matthews pretty close.
Yeah. Yeah. No
but,
kidding.
But, I mean, people still have that in their head that he's this, like, complete 200-foot player. Like, yeah, he's really good at causing turnovers and stuff like that, but, I mean, he's not...
He's not
leading
Bergeron.
A back check. He's not going to be winning Selkies. I mean, that's not the... Like, we want to winning MVPs, not Selkies.
Yeah, exactly. And also, I a separate point, I just want to point out how ridiculous John Carlson's season has been.
Yep. Yeah, he's got almost 100 points. He's
just give him the Norse.
He has 50 points.
What's he got, 50 points?
50
just
points.
Send it to his house now.
Holy shit. Yeah, I don't give a shit about defensive zone coverage. You get 30 goals or 90 points, you win.
It's funny because I think the scoring pace he's on is going to be better than when Alex Green had like 30 goals that one year.
Mike Green?
Sorry. Who did I say? Alex Green?
Yeah, you meant Ovechkin, maybe.
Yeah, sorry. Got to too much. Mike Green had 30 goals that 1 year, and we're just like, we're never going to see anything like that again. John Carlson is going to smash that.
I hope. He's a hell of a player.
And he's only costing, what, $8 million a season? And people were just like, I don't know. Guess what?
That was the only guy that I would have rather signed over John Tavares. But I think both people are pretty happy with where they're at.
Yeah, very much so. And Roman Josi, I would shout out to him, 41 points. So that's
he's a pretty good player too.
So
how are they doing? I feel like they're awful.
Well, I mean, they lost the Winter Classic, which that was a fun game to watch. But that was a pathetic third period by the Predators. Like, everyone's... They are at 42 points, so they're 5 points out of
the wild card. They can't stop a nosebleed.
They have allowed 131 goals against. That's in horrible. Comparison, the Leafs have allowed 135. And the problem is, Nashville...
They don't score as much.
They have 134 goals. The Leafs have 152.
Yeah, 20 goals. That'll do it.
Pecorino has been absolutely dreadful.
Yeah, he fell off a cliff. I mean, I thought he was done when he in the playoffs. He was horrific.
That's the biggest mistake I think David Poile has made, is not moving away from Pecorino, or at least getting someone else that can push him.
They just don't have anybody.
It's terrible.
They've got Saros, and that's not the guy they're going to lean on when Rene's gone.
Nope. He's like 5'10", 5'9". Nope, not going to work.
They got to trade for someone. So I think Nashville is going to make a big trade for a goalie.
That's another thing, though. I can't think of a goal like a budding star that's a backup right now. I can't think of one. Maybe Samsonov, but I feel like he's going to be the starter because Holtby's going to be a free agent.
Yeah.
I just don't see why they would re-sign him.
I don't know which team right now is going to trade a starter. Like, do you roll the dice on a starter that's not playing very well right now, but can, in front of a better team, can play better? Like, I don't want to say Jonathan Quick because I think his injury problem has been. But would you rather have Jonathan Quick or Pecorine?
I mean, Quick, but, like, is Quick going to play?
Well, I mean, he's been playing since coming back, so that's just the interesting part. Because I think right now in the Eastern Conference, like, I'm sorry, how do the Islanders have 53 points?
We're actually that close to them.
We are actually. They have 115 goals scored.
Who, the Islanders?
The Islanders.
That's really bad.
Like.
The Leafs got to have 50 more.
The Ottawa Senators have one less goal than they do.
Well, they probably have allowed like 100 more, so.
The Senators have allowed 138. The Islanders have allowed 102, so.
Yeah, that's a lot.
But, my God. Like, I think this playoff race is going to be very interesting.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be 5 teams from the Metro.
Yeah. Just seeing Phillies get in.
Yeah. Looks like they're pretty good. I would rather not play Philly. I'd rather play
Carolina.
Another team Carolina or hell, even Pittsburgh.
The good thing is that if Washington stays where they are, top of the Eastern Conference, and let's say the Leafs leapfrog the Bruins, most likely the Capitals will get that second wild card seed, which would be Philly.
What? Oh, I thought you were saying the Capitals would get the second wild card. I'm like, no.
They would play the second wild card team.
Yeah.
And then the Leafs would get the top one. So that's something I'm looking forward to. I think the Leafs right now also have their schedule isn't too tough moving forward. Like, I think this was like their easiest part of their schedule. Ooh, actually, Jacob, guess who they play tomorrow?
They play the Islanders.
They play the Islanders tomorrow.
Yes, they do.
Oh, God. Really?
Yeah. Oh, wait, they're not playing on Saturday? It's in Toronto, though.
I got to watch Michael Hutchinson play the
Islanders. No, it's on Saturday.
Okay.
It's on Saturday. Oh, shoot. It's not on Friday.
I'm sorry. It's Google messed me up because I had the page loaded before midnight. Or no, sorry, I had the page loaded and it said tomorrow, but I
for a second there, I thought you were going to say that we had to watch at least play that team in their boring ass system while Michael Hutchinson was in net.
No. Yeah. Thankfully, no.
It's like watching Detroit put all five of their guys in the slot whenever they play Toronto.
But I'm just gonna run off the Leafs' next few opponents. You have the Islanders, you have the Oilers, you have the Jets at home, you have the Panthers, you have the Devils, you have the Flames, you have the Blackhawks, and then you go on the road for a two gamer against the Preds and Stars to end the month.
That's two hard games.
Preds and Stars are probably the hardest.
No. It's the Islanders and Dallas. That's it.
Yeah.
They should win every other game. The Predators are horrible.
Actually, if they don't score six
on the Predators, it's pretty bad.
They fared pretty well against the Preds in Nashville regardless. So I'm not – I think the Leafs enjoy also being in Nashville. So
so do I. I love Nashville.
Yo, who wants to go on a road trip, guys? I'll go to Nashville. Maybe tickets will be cheap now that they suck.
Hopefully.
So, I think this is a huge opportunity for the Leafs right now.
I think this is an I don't know. People think that's a tough schedule. I don't see it.
No, I don't think really tough. I think it's easy.
Unless they play, unless they have to play Hutchinson like five games and he just allows five goals. I mean, they should, like, Edmonton at home, they should win that. Like, they should win against the Islanders. I mean, they're just not that great a team. I mean, it's not hard. Like, then you play Winnipeg, they just dusted them. They play Florida. Florida can't save anything. The Devils are the fucking Devils. Calgary's not great. Chicago sucks. Nashville sucks. And Dallas is good.
Yeah. And I'm looking at the Bruins. Unfortunately, their schedule isn't too hard either. They get the Oilers, the Preds, the Jets, the Islanders, the Flyers. And then it's a little harder. You get the Islanders, the Flyers, the Blue Jackets, the Penguins on back-to-back. So you get a dose of the Metro there. So
Did they win tonight or did they lose tonight?
They lost in overtime. So they have been – I'm looking at the last few games. Like their last three games, they're 1-0-2. They lost to the Devils in a shootout.
Yeah.
So, I mean, hey, Boston, you can be happy about getting those 1 points, but when the Leafs are picking up two on a consistent basis, that's not good.
No.
I'm really looking forward to that. But gentlemen, any final comments before we end the podcast?
Nope. I just hope people don't continually look for negatives. I mean, I've seen some people who are like, oh, this isn't sustainable. This is an easy schedule. These guys are going to slow down. It's like, what? Like, what do you think you're like? It's like people in the middle of a cruise saying like, ugh. Next week is going to suck when I'm back working. It's like, how about you just enjoy yourself?
Yeah.
Enjoy what you're watching. It's not like it's going to happen again. Like, they're probably not going to go, 14-4-1?
You know what's the crazy thing here? And Austin, I'm pretty sure you can attest this. I have, like, relatives telling me, oh, I haven't really watched the Leafs lately. I'm like, and the reason, they're soft. They don't know how to defend them. Like, this is the most exciting brand of Leafs hockey I've watched in a long time.
The thing I don't get is like,
what do you watch for when you watch hockey?
No. The thing is like, they've played a bunch of these teams where people are pumping them up like they're some sort of contenders. They're like, yeah, Carolina, that's a contender. Like the team we scored 8 on.
Yeah.
Like, or Edmonton or some team like that. It's like, what? We're shit kicking these teams. Like, what are you talking about? They act like there's only one way to win, and it's you got to be the 0-1 Devils playing the trap and winning 2-1 every night. Like, that's just not a reality. I mean, good teams lose. Like, Washington allowed 8 to Boston. 8. Nobody's out here is like slating them. They're just like, oh, it was an off game.
Yeah,
bad night. I mean, I mean, that's the territory when, you know, people want to see you lose. I mean, there's probably every fan base in the league outside of our own wants to see them lose.
Yep.
That's the territory. But, I mean, I just don't want to see that sort of negativity from our quote-unquote fans, because there are some people who I don't consider fans who are either just looking for negatives in certain players or complaining about a style that, I mean, I don't know how you can complain about a style where they're winning every damn game and they're scoring over 4 goals a game for a month.
And they're dominating teams at 5-on-5.
Yeah, they look like the freaking Globetrotters against some teams. Like the one against Carolina, like, I don't know how anybody can complain that. They freaking could have had 25 goals. They played horrific. Freddie couldn't stop a beach ball, yet they still scored 8 goals.
Yeah.
And also, they're moving. They have a coach that's not afraid to move things all around. I mean, like, just some of the things that he's willing to do. Like, the one where I think he had Nylander, Tavares, Marner, or Nylander, Tavares, Matthews on a line, like, after a penalty kill. Like, what? What is this? Doing things that actually should happen? What a thought. Who would have thought doing actual intelligent things and putting your best players out there would actually make a difference? But I know it's great to see, especially with all across the lineup. It's not like it's just the top guys are playing and it's unsustainable the rates they're at. Like, they got goals out of guys that don't score, like Dermott, Pierre Engvall scored, Kapanen scored. Oh,
that goal by Engvall was dirty.
Yeah, that was a nice one.
I've got a bit of a crush on Engvall.
I love him. I love that guy.
I told you the first AHL game I watched him, I said this dude might be the most effortless skater I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, he looks like
he's
a guy.
6'4".
Yeah, he looks like a manatee out there. That's how freaking tall he is.
Did I send you the thing where he scored his first career goal, and it was either Sandin or Lilligren put up a thing on Instagram of like a kid's drawing with him on a giraffe's neck?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he is.
I love those sweets.
Big boy.
Yeah. And he's just, he makes it look so easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's he's been a terrific ass. He's an
unbelievable skater, and the rest is just going to come and with more experience.
And the funny thing is look how many injuries they've had, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like, I'm trying to think, how many guys have not missed one game from injury? Has Riley not missed a game? Matthews hasn't, which is hilarious.
Riley has not missed a game. I don't think so.
He's missed a bunch of practices.
CeCe hasn't missed a game. Cause,
yeah, we've noticed.
We would know.
Martin Marincin is in, too. We've noticed.
Martin Marincin's been up about 12 times already in the last week and a half, but he's only played, like, 2 games.
Like, oh, man.
Timo Kivihalme is still up, apparently. He's didn't get sent right back down.
Oh, man. I said a prayer when I saw the Jake Muzzin injury news. I'm just like, oh, boy.
Oh, right. He's not playing.
Yeah. There's a reason why Martin Marincin is playing Austin.
That awful injury.
McCabe. Like, look, they're doing this. McCabe has been injured. I mean, granted, it's only been a few games. McCabe's been injured. Muzzin's been injured. Andreas Johnsson has been injured. Trevor Moore has been injured.
Yeah. That guy.
Like, I mean, Trevor Moore.
Arner, Tavares, Kerfoot. Like, everybody's been injured.
I'm actually a little concerned about Trevor Moore, guys. Like, a concussion he tried to come back. He hadn't even played, and he's out with a concussion.
Didn't he play one game, or no?
No, he got into a practice.
He was cleared, and then the day of, he got sat again. That's when they called Tim up for the first time.
No, it was Brooks they call up for the first
time.
Yeah,
Brooks and Lilligren, but
so
also liked him, so I just focused on him. But, yeah, I don't. He also wears that Bauer helmet that's put together with, like, foam inside.
Yeah. Well,
I really shouldn't be surprised that he.
Yeah, those are really, really.
Everybody loves them, but like I've seen them.
They have legitimately no protection at all.
They're literally made with styrofoam on the inside.
No, it's like putting a towel under just a piece of plastic.
If you get shit mixed, your career is in jeopardy.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they're awful. I thought they banned them, to be honest.
It's like it's the hockey equivalent of the helmet Antonio Brown was trying to wear.
Pretty much. It might be worse. I mean, I've seen people who wear those helmets. They are so bad. It's like having Band-Aids.
Matt Sundin wore one of those back in the 2000s when it was a Nike helmet still.
the CC or the CCMs, I thought.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's the one that Phil Kessel wore had gel on the inside because I had the same helmet. It was a Nike Bauer. It's fucking beautiful. Love that helmet. Yeah. That one's just made with pure foam on the inside.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Final point. Now you just remind me with the Phil Kessel comment, Austin. I nominated.
Let's talk about my other love other than William Nylander.
Pretty much nominated and said that Phil Kessel was the Leafs player of the decade. Any objections to that point?
Not at all.
Dick?
He only carried
probably had the most points. So yeah, I mean,
definitely most. Oh, he
it's
was
pretty sad that he's the player of the decade, but yeah, no, it's probably works.
I'm gonna go with Robbie Earle.
Oh my god.
Jason Blake.
It was either him or I mean
Keith Ollie.
Surprisingly, it might close be like second. JVR or something like that.
JVR, even like
John Paul.
Good lord, Paul. I think we're at a point of
no, not even Loophole. John Paul, I said.
Who?
Exactly.
John Paul?
Paul. P-O-H-L.
Who the fuck is that's John
Paul? That's the guy whose stick I have.
That's not a real player. There's no way.
My parents brought it from the Leaf store.
Well, that's a real player, right?
John P-O-H-L.
That sounds like a reggae artist.
Oh, no, he's a player. He was a player.
He flipped me a puck during one of the Leafs open practices, so my parents bought me his Pro Stock stick for Christmas.
Wow, respect that he was actually an NHL player.
Great news.
Yeah, he was. For a period.
He played an NHL game?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, there were Bates Pataglia, Amazing Race fame. He was also a hockey player at one point.
Oh, man. You're making me going deep into the archives here for John Poole.
How about Boyd Devereaux?
I remember that name, yeah.
So John Paul played 3 seasons with the Leafs. His
no way he played over 10 games.
He
played 3 years for us.
So he started off with the Marlies where he had 75 points in 60 games.
Stunned. Wow.
And then
TJ Brennan?
Then he got called up late in the season. He had 3 goals and 4 points in 7 games. So it was probably one of those like late call-ups. Leafs were out
on an absolute heater to start his career with Leafs.
That was, and then he had 13 goals and 29 points in 74 games, and then things went off the rail for him because he had 5 points in 33 games in his last season in the blue and white, and his career ended in 2010 with the Chicago Bulls, where he had 53 points in 66 games. That is the career of Mr. John Paul.
What about Mike Koska?
Oh my god.
How about Mike Koska?
We're thinking of just random ass players.
We could have done a whole podcast on our favorite random players.
Random ass
players. Do you want me to do a post on that? The Leafs all decade team?
Man, what was that fucking like midget that made the team?
And Tim Smallwood?
Stapleton.
I combined Stapleton and
who made the team. Who made the team in like 2014? He scored, I think, in his first game. Yes, Brandon Cozen. That's what I was thinking of.
And then he broke his ankle against the Kings.
And hideous tongues out. Anybody that goes tongues out has to suck. There's only one good player that I've seen nowadays that does that, and it's Phil Kessel. That's the most Bender ass thing I've ever seen.
Oh, Kyle Wellwood. While we're on the subject.
Oh my God, I'm talking about not like current hockey, like past 2005.
We haven't even gotten into the meat and potatoes, the Ponikarovskis and the Antropovs of the world.
They were good players.
Yeah,
and Nick Antropov too. He's a great guy.
Well, doesn't he live in Toronto? Isn't his kid like an amazing player?
His kid plays for the Jens.
Yeah, that's what I thought he was. Is he like? Could he represent Canada or Kazakhstan?
I think he could do either. I don't think he's. No, I'm sure Kazakhstan could use him.
I think. Okay, I'm gonna give this to. So
he's not on the Kazakhstan junior team. I know that.
Damn.
He was born in Toronto or North York. Sorry.
I mean, obviously he's Canadian. His dad played here, and I'm sure he was born here.
So he has not been drafted.
He's also probably got that dual citizen because Andropov went back to Kazakhstan for like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, so I think he's eligible again for the. I don't think he got drafted last year.
No, he didn't go he went undrafted, because I was looking at him and I was looking at Christian Reichel. They were both up for the draft in the last couple of years.
Man, remember Reichel? That was another one.
Yep.
Oh my God, yeah.
I remember when the Leafs traded for him. I was like, let's go.
I'm actually gonna do a post, Dave, with the Toronto Maple Leafs all decade Remember That Guy team.
Yeah. All right. That sounds good.
Kirby Reichel's a good one.
Kirby Reichel. Robbie Earl and John Paul maybe my top line wingers.
Oh, yo, who was the guy that came in the 82nd game, the college kid,
God.
They made O-Dog the healthy scratch.
I'm thinking of Casey Bailey.
No.
When they signed him from
Penn State.
Penn State midseason, and everyone was like, he's the next thing.
Oh, fuck. What was his name, man?
A college kid.
I just remember Christian Hansen, because he was a...
oh, my God. From Chad Notre Dame. He was so bad.
He was Chad what? Kilgore. Didn't he play for, like, Notre Dame?
Yes, he did play for Notre Dame.
This
is gonna annoy me so much.
So wait, who's the guy you're thinking of?
I don't know, but he played one game and he scored in it. Oh, it was in 2005-06.
Hold on, I'll figure it out. Keep talking.
I'll figure it out. Because
05-06.
Yeah, that was the yeah. All
right. One sec. Oh, I'm going to have a lot of scrolling to do. Holy shit. Oh, yes. Thank you.
Jeremy Williams?
I scream when I hear it. Oh, what did you say?
Jeremy Williams?
That might have been it. That might
No,
have been
Jeremy Williams was the stud from the Marlies, because he's the only dude in the AHL that wore a tinted visor.
Jeremy Williams only... He scored one goal in one game.
Yes, it was Jeremy Williams.
Oh, okay.
Then the following year, he played in one game and he scored a goal. The guy had the best... One of the best shooting percentages in Leafs history.
Ben Andres. I forgot about that guy. Jason Allison.
Ben Andres. Holy Christ, man.
Who is this? Marius Jurkowski?
That's a made-up name.
No, yeah, that's a person that exists. He's Polish.
Oh, God.
And he played...
Wow, in that game that Jeremy Williams played, yeah, Jeff O'Neill got scratched. He always talks about it because he had 19 goals and Jeremy Williams.
Oh, he needed a bonus.
And he scored. Yeah, he had a bonus.
Oh, God.
I love that.
I think he said it was 320 grand.
Oh, God.
Who is Clark Willman? Why is he on this?
Oh my God.
It's unfortunate that I can only use the 2010s for this idea.
Sebastian O'Ban was the goalie. Who the fuck is that?
Jonas Gustafsson's my starting goaltender on this team.
John Sebastian O'Ban. Who the hell is he?
Joey McDonald was on the Leafs in 09-10. Holy fuck. Garnet Exelby.
Oh my God. Yeah, they got him from Atlanta.
That was him and Jeff Finger. Day they got them.
Didn't he retire Garnet Exelby or something with the Leafs? Like, he retired like a day, like two months after they acquired him.
Wow. No, he played for the Leafs in 09-10, and then he played in the A for like another 4 years. He finished in 15-16. He was still kicking around in whatever the BDHL is.
Well, gentlemen, as fun as this has been, I think we
went. I'm going to keep looking at this. We're going to have to stay on and talk about irrelevant players.
No, I got to go to bed. It is 12:30. I have work. Screw you people.
Boom.
Oh, Ian White.
Oh, yeah, come on. Ian White was a good player.
I'm not saying a relevant player. I'm just saying a name I didn't remember until just now.
Oh, yeah.
He was like the last guy that didn't wear a visor.
He was one of the last dudes that wore the Sundin Cabernet CCM bucket.
To our esteemed listeners, I am very sorry we went down this rabbit hole. It was not my plan. Oh, my God.
Ian White played 500 games. That's pretty good.
You know what this conversation has made me want to say? Leafs fans, if you were complaining about the way this team plays...
Think about the fucking names we just said.
Just Jay look Rosen. Back. Before the year 2015. Rosen. Oh my goodness.
I'm going to just keep going. You probably should just end it.
I am ending this podcast.
Yuri Talusi and his dick pics.
Folks, please find a way to... Please find in your hearts to subscribe. I know this has gone down a place we didn't want to go, but oh God, I'm losing my mind right now. So thank you guys for listening. I'm going to shut this podcast down. Austin, if you keep going on names, I'm just going to cut you off. Thank you guys for listening. Watch the Leafs. Enjoy the hockey. And we'll talk soon.
David.
What I want.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.